We have the last talk of the day to wrap up, and this is a fantastic thing because Moritz will tell about the actual application of AI and what he's doing with TenStore and hardware on drug discovery. And yeah, I've just learned like it was like a hobby project, or it was a hobby project last year, and now he's working at TenStorrent to continue his work. So like hobby project turned into a job and a good one with a passion. This is awesome. So like let's listen to what you want to say about the progress of your project.
So yeah, I'm going to give a little update on my project TT Bolts. I actually gave already a talk at the second edition of the AI Plumber conference about TT Bolts, but that was still like Bolts 1 on TenStorrent Wormhole, and really a lot has happened since then, and so I thought it would be like cool to give a little update. So for people who are not already familiar with the project, TT Bolts is basically a port of Bolts 2 to TenStorrent hardware. And Bolts 2 is a biomolecular structure prediction model, and basically just an improved successor of AlphaFold 3. And I think like more people are familiar with AlphaFold than Bolts. But actually, like Bolts became industry standard, and so all the biotech labs use Bolts and not AlphaFold anymore. And yeah, the project is completely open source under the MIT license, and it works out of the box on TenStorrent hardware. Yeah, and I started the project in November 24, just as my pet project, as a side project during university. And then in April 25, I had the first working prototype, and since then I was just optimizing the model. And after I finished my studies, I joined TenStorrent now, and I get a lot of time to work on the project and more resources, which is awesome, and I also wrote my thesis about this topic, so if anyone is interested, you can also check out the repo and the thesis. Yeah, but first I want to talk a little bit about TenStorrent hardware, but want to keep it really brief because like there were so many talks about TenStorrent hardware. So here we have the TenStorrent Black Hole P150, which is currently the most performant PCI Express card that is available in the shop. And yeah, in the middle we have the Black Hole processor, then 8 GDDR6 memory banks with 4 gigabyte each, so 32 gigabytes. But for me, like the coolest thing is that it has a large SRAM, 210 megabytes of SRAM, and it's a scratchpad, so we can control it explicitly. And stay for a long time in SRAM for certain operations, which can be a major advantage against like, or in comparison with GPUs who have like transparent caches that you can only control implicitly. On the right is my quiet box. And yeah, the Bolts project right now is only running on a single card, but very soon we want to parallelize it across multiple cards. There's also a TenStorrent Galaxy server with like 32 processors, and yeah, I want to like leverage everything for drug discovery on the Bolts project. Yeah, here's the architecture of the Black Hole processor and the Tensix core. So Black Hole processor, the architecture is basically just a grid of cores. We have Ethernet cores, DRAM cores, system controller, but where the actually where the compute happens, that's the Tensix cores. And on the right, we have the architecture of Tensix cores, and we have five small RISC-V chips, and they basically control the routers, and the data movement and compute engines, and each Tensix core has also, I think on Black Hole, 1.5 megabytes of SRAM. Yeah, but I think not everyone here is familiar with structure prediction. So proteins are basically the building blocks of life. They underpin all processes in life, and they are defined by a sequence of amino acids. And this sequence of amino acids folds into a 3D structure in the human body, and the 3D structure determines the function, what the protein does in the human body. So it is really important to predict the structure, and that was a huge problem for 50 years and biology. And AlphaFold 2 basically solved this problem and therefore was awarded the Nobel Prize in 2024. And it can predict those structures in minutes and not years. So Boltz 2 builds on top of AlphaFold, but it adds also affinity prediction there in the top right corner. And affinity prediction predicts basically the probability and how strong a small molecule binds to a protein. And for example, a protein could be a harmful protein, and then you want to design a drug, so a small molecule, the ligand here, that attaches to the protein and maybe disables this function. And that's why binding affinity is so important for drug discovery. And yeah, in contrast to AlphaFold, the Boltz model is fully open source and not only for academic usage. In the bottom, we have the whole architecture of the Boltz 2 model. It can seem pretty complex, but the most important modules are really just the performer in the middle, the diffusion model, and maybe also the MSA module. So formally, it is basically just a diffusion module, but it is a pretty unique diffusion module because most of the computational complexity is in this performer, which is a transformer. And yeah, that's what makes it different from pretty different from other diffusion modules. This is another way of looking at the architecture, and there we can see that Boltz 2 basically consists of a few number of big modules which are composed of smaller modules, and the main big modules are the performer diffusion module and the MSA module. And we can, for example, see that the template module, the confidence module, and the affinity module are just thin wrappers around a performer. And so the task of porting the Boltz model to tensorrent hardware was just porting those big modules to the tensorrent architecture. And yeah, I would say the most interesting small modules are triangle multiplication and triangle attention, and they have cubic complexity, not just quadratic complexity, in contrast, for example, to regular self-attention. And the triangle comes from the fact that between those atoms, the triangle inequality holds, and that is just inductive bias. And that's basically what the researchers did with AlphaFold and Boltz. It feels like engineering inductive biases. So they take regular machine learning operations, but they have some requirements from, for example, physics, and they have to engineer those inductive biases in the model. And another interesting thing about the Boltz 2 model are the activations. So we have a single representation. This is a usual representation, for example, in transformers. In transformers, we have a sequence of tokens, and therefore a sequence of embeddings, and therefore this matrix on the left. But additionally, in the Boltz 2 model, we have a pair representation. And this pair representation has additional dimension, which is as large as the sequence length. And this is the root cause for this increased complexity. This means, for example, that the activations, the memory complexity of the activations are quadratic in sequence length. And so for larger molecules, most of the memory is consumed by the activations and not the weights. The Boltz 2 model is actually a pretty small module, but the activations can get really large. And this is also this additional dimension, which is as large as the sequence length, is also the root cause for the increase for the cubic time complexity of triangle attention and triangle multiplication. And yeah, that's basically the skeleton how I ported Boltz to tensorrent hardware. Those are just two of the big modules, but I just rewrote them in TTNN, then put them in a PyTorch wrapper. So from the outside, they look like PyTorch modules, and then I could use it in the existing code base. And then, yeah, most of my time was actually spent on performance optimizations, and the key performance optimization that I did across all those modules was for triangle attention, I integrated flash attention too. I will dive deeper into that later. Then, of course, like always, fusing operations. For example, if you compute queries, keys, and values. You have three linear transformation, but you can fuse them into one. Then you have a bigger matrix multiplication. That means higher arithmetic intensity, and so you can utilize the matrix units more. But in general, just fusing operations, having less kernel overhead, staying longer in SRAM, that was important. And since the activations have high memory complexity, I use chunking a lot. So processing those activations, those tensors, in chunks that we also can keep in SRAM. That was really important. And of course, mixed precision. So by default, we use bfloat 16. But whenever we can, whenever it doesn't affect the accuracy too much, we use block FP8. And for example, for triangular tension, we can basically do all of it in block FP8. And because because triangular attention is one of the most interesting small modules, I just wanted to give briefly the idea how we used regular flash attention too for that. And we have here the standard attention formula. And in the standard attention formula, we add attention mask. And in triangular attention, we just have to replace the attention mask with a triangle bias. And there's like there's a small difference between the attention mask and the triangle bias. The attention mask is the same for all attention heads, so we can broadcast it across the head dimension. But the triangle bias is actually different per head, but we have to broadcast it across the batch dimension. And so the first trick that we did was just permuting the head dimension and the batch dimension, because they are both independent. But even those permutations took too long, and so in the end we just added support for batch board broadcasting to the flash attention kernel, and this way we can just use flash attention too for triangle attention. And now I want to talk a little bit about the evaluation, about the performance. This is, of course, just the baseline. So bolts 2 on a CPU and bolts 2 on black hole. And yeah, we can see that it is significantly faster than a CPU for all sequence length. And with sequence length, I always mean the number of amino acids in a protein. More interesting is, of course, the comparison with a GPU. And so I wanted to compare the best PCI Express cards from NVIDIA and from Tenstorrent that are available for consumers. But of course, just comparing them, just comparing the inference time would be a little unfair, because the average over the last year of RTX 5090 were $3,000. Right now, it's not even available for this price. Tenstorrent card is significantly faster. And if we look at the predicted structures per hour per dollar, we have better results for the Tenstorrent cards for all proteins except the one with more than 1,000 amino acids. But I still think that there's a bug in for large proteins, and I hope we can solve it and also get better for larger proteins. So I think like Tenstorrent cards already have very good price performance, and for small proteins, Tenstorrent cards actually, the Tenstorrent black hole cards actually faster than an RTX 5090. And when optimizing the performance, profiling is, of course, very important, and looking at how the runtime is distributed across all sequence length. And I think the across all the big modules, and I think the most interesting thing is here that as the sequence length increases, the performer more and more dominates the runtime, and that's because only the performer contains triangle attention and triangle multiplication, which are the only small modules that have cubic complexity. And so for large proteins, we mostly care about the performer, but for small proteins, it's also very important to optimize, for example, the diffusion module. And that's basically how a predicted structure looks like. This protein structure, the blue protein structure, was predicted on a Tenstorrent black hole card. In green, we have the experimental ground truth. And so, yeah, it is pretty accurate, and that's also confirmed by all the important metrics. And I guess we still have a little bit of time, so I can also hopefully show a little demo. Oh, did it crash? Oh, maybe I have to start it again. Yeah, so I think it works. And also, the first part was generating the MSA. Then it is loading the module into the memory. Then the performer runs, and right now that is the diffusion module. And you can see how the protein is folded in real time. That was pretty fast. And then you can also see, for example, for each amino acids here, how confident the model is in the prediction or the overall confidence and some some metrics that are important for biology. So I think with that we can open up for Q&A maybe.
On the comparison, is the NVIDIA running on FP32 and TT and TensorRT on BFloat 16 or base?
NVIDIA is also running on BF16. The NVIDIA card is also running on BF16, but they don't use block FP8 anywhere.
More questions?
Okay, good. Thank you very much. This is a wrap. I'll give it to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us today. So, if you want to continue these discussions, you can join us also on Monday on the Fringe event. You can also just like continue to the breweries and continue the evening. Thank you, everyone.